it's a great gift to be able to follow the daily liturgy. It gives us a firm foundation on which to make our journey through the ups and downs of life. It also is quite refreshing to not have to talk about COVID for a while, at least for 1 hour. We're not going to talk about COVID, even though we all know probably a dozen people who are infected, and we're praying for them. I'm not putting it down. Even now, a one-year-old baby is infected. So yes, we carry all of them in our hearts as we come to the Mass. But the focus of the Mass is not this or that hardship, but God Himself. And in this time of the year, after Epiphany, we're focusing on how God reveals Himself. Epiphany. Yesterday, I spoke about the difficulty, and it's hard to use this kind of language for God because nothing is difficult for God, but the challenge of revealing Himself without frightening us. We talked about fear and how if we were to encounter God in all His awesome glory and power, we would be terrified. So he doesn't do that. He comes in humble ways. Anyway, that was yesterday. So today, I'd like to reflect a little bit on how God reveals Himself as love. And in this light, the challenge is how to communicate love, which is the same challenge we have. How do we let people know that we love them? How can we communicate love? How does God communicate love? Well, the basic ways are word and deed. Word and deed. And this is what we see happening in the life of Jesus. In His words and in His deeds, He's revealing Himself. He's revealing divine love. When it comes to God, there's no difference between word and deed. If you go back to the God in Himself, he's His word is His deed. When He speaks, what He says is. So there's no distinction. He's what the philosophers call pure act. It's not as if he thinks one thing and then later on he does it. He's all Himself all the time. So that's God. And it's hard for us to conceive of that. In any case, when God is translated into human language, we can distinguish word and deed. The Word became flesh. He was always the Word. He was always fully Word, and He was always the Word of the Father. But when He became flesh, well, then His deeds and words could be distinguished. Now, I mention this because in this week after Epiphany, or week of Epiphany, we're seeing a lot of deeds. Jesus multiplying the loaves, curing people, walking on the water. But in today's gospel, He doesn't do anything. He reads from the scripture and says, "This word is fulfilled in your hearing." So today's gospel is more word, whereas the last couple of days have been more deeds. And they're both, or all, revealing God. But we have this expression that words are us. What is it? Words are more. How does it go? Words. Actions speak louder than words. I'm sorry. Actions speak louder than words. Okay, that's the common expression, and I think that's accurate. Someone could say, I love you 100 times, but if there's no action that puts that love into practice, it doesn't speak, that I love you doesn't speak very effectively. One deed, one action, especially a sacrificial action, that really communicates love to us. Okay, here, let's just look at today's gospel. Jesus goes to Nazareth. This is very early and very beginning of His public life. And he reads from the Word. It's the Word of God, inspired Word, Isaiah the prophet. And in this passage, he is describing himself, or he's using the Word of God through Isaiah to describe himself and his mission. He's anointed to bring good news to the poor. He brings liberty. He proclaims liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year of favor, or a year acceptable. Now that's, anyone could read that. In fact, that would be commonly read in the synagogue when someone read from Isaiah. This is Isaiah 61. What is astonishing here is what Jesus says after reading the word. He says, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. It's as if to say, you have heard the word, and I am the word. And he doesn't say it quite that bluntly, but he could have, because he's the word made flesh. So what's so astonishing about this is that no one, no Jew would ever say that. No one would say this word is fulfilled in your hearing, because it implies that the speaker is God. And no one would dare do such a thing. So when Jesus says this word is fulfilled in your hearing, well, it's an epiphany. It's a theophany. It's a revelation of God in the midst of his people. That's why this passage is read during this week. And the liturgy very strikingly stops this reading in the middle of verse 22, because the next thing is they start to question him. You know this passage in Luke. Once they say, they're impressed by him, but then they start to say, wait a minute, isn't this the son of the carpenter? And where does he get all this? And before long, they're about to throw him over a cliff. So, now that's not in today's gospel, but it's in our awareness that the revelation of God, or the epiphany, does not guarantee acceptance of God. Just because God reveals himself, it doesn't mean that we will believe him or love him. Before we go to love, I just want to mention a couple of side points about this time of year, because Epiphany is all about God revealing himself in Christ. And you would think that one of the most striking early passages about God revealing himself is the wedding feast at Cana. For some reason, that passage is not read this week. In fact, it's very rarely read in the liturgy. I ran into this again in preparing for this afternoon's talk. But anyway, so I mentioned it because at the wedding feast of Cana, there's no words, just deeds. He doesn't say anything other than fill up the jars, but the message that's communicated is here, the time has come, and he's the one, and he has brought up an abundant grace of transformation. So that's part of, and the miracle at Cana is one of the traditional events that's associated with Epiphany. The visit of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, and the first sign, wedding at Cana. Okay, now that's just a side liturgical point. I think the liturgist might have made a mistake in not getting that Bible passage into this week somewhere. Let's take a look at the first reading. Again, it's focusing on love. See, what is revealed when we encounter Epiphany is love, because that's who God is. God is love. So when he reveals himself as love. This passage tells us that if we're going to accept this revelation, the people of Nazareth did not accept it, and they didn't respond with love. But if we accept the invitation, if we accept the revelation, then the implication is that we will love. If we accept that we are loved, the natural, normal consequence is that we love. We who are loved, we love. Love God in in return, first of all, that's the most obvious, but then also love those whom God loves. That's the central point of today's reading. That if we can't say that we love God if we hate our brother. That's a lie. We can't do that. We can't divide our heart and say our heart is loving when in fact there's some part of us that doesn't love. Either we love or we don't love. If we hate someone, it means we're not really loving. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, the reading makes this connection, and I think this has to be my final point to ponder. Where do we get this capacity to love our brother? Our brother meaning everyone else, everyone. Where do we get this capacity to love people who are not necessarily very lovable? Well, yes, it comes from God, but the important thing is faith. So we get to the last line of the reading. It says that whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And we would say, well, what conquers the world? We would say, oh, love conquers the world. Love is the most powerful thing. Love is God. God is love. But it says the victory that conquers the world is our faith. It doesn't say the victory that conquers the world is love. Now, the reason for this is that God's love only operates fully in us when we have faith. Faith opens the door to the power of love. This is what we see in Nazareth. When they refuse to believe, then they are refusing to love also. Loving, they refuse to accept the fulfillment of God's word, and they refuse to accept, and they refuse to love their brother, their own neighbor, Jesus. So, but if we have faith, then this door is open, and the love of God, which is powerful beyond expression, the love of God, which is all his divine word and deed, is operative in us. It flows into us and through us into the world. So that's what conquers the world, is the love of God. But it doesn't work unless we believe. So when we believe, we're begotten by God. When we believe, we accept love. And when we accept that love, love becomes the force in us and through us in the world. So we are called to do, as we see in the life of Jesus, to love in words and in deeds. In words and in deeds. Actions speak louder than words, but our words shouldn't contradict love either. So words and deeds. And in this way, the power of Epiphany continues even today.